friggin' Voices project.
Absolutely. So, Kyle, this actually came out of some of our Oregon by the Numbers work, which you and I have talked about a couple of times. So we do these big data projects at the foundation, trying to put high-quality data in the hands of all of our residents in every nook and cranny of Oregon. And one of the things that happens is that, especially in our small towns, small counties, the publicly available data in for those places, for folks living in those places, is really limited. In fact, often the data becomes suppressed because the sample size is so small. And so part of the reason we wanted to do Oregon Voices is to really get on the ground data about the lived experiences of folks that live in those places where we so often don't have data.
And a lot of those locations, people feel like no one is listening to them.
That's correct. And when every time you get a data report, the place where you live is grayed out or no data available, that can reinforce that kind of feeling. So we really wanted to conduct this project. It's first of its kind for us, first of its kind for Oregon, that really focuses on the lived experiences of people all across the state, but most especially in those smaller towns and small places that don't get reported.
So how do you take that goal and come up with questions?
So that question, the development of questions, has been a four-year endeavor that involved many rural residents, residents of small towns all across Oregon. Actually, Mandy, didn't you do one of those listening efforts?
Yeah, in 2017.
Yeah, so we've had multiple touch points, whether it's through listening in focus groups or our Rural Community Building Summit. We did a session there. But over the years, we've crafted these questions that we really wanted to be about lived experiences, not about people's values, beliefs, issues that they care about. We wanted it to be about lived experience, and that was with purpose. We want to keep this thing neutral.
So how do you or what do you want to accomplish from all this?
Mandy, do you want to take that one? Or go ahead. With this, we really want everyone in Oregon to feel heard and seen, and to be able to highlight the issues that folks in small towns are really caring about right now. We've been through a really hard time, all of us. We are still living in hard times, and we are hopeful that this survey will highlight some of our common purpose across small towns and rural corners of Oregon.
So who all is involved? Because it looked like it wasn't just Ford Family Foundation, but you've got a lot of people that are part of this project.
Yeah, in addition to community builders and our colleagues at the Ford Family Foundation that have informed this, we've been working with Portland State University and Echo Northwest to develop the survey and help disseminate, and they'll be working on the analysis with us as well. We also plan on being able to engage our community members in some of the interpretation of the results so that people who have responded to the survey can weigh in on what the data means to them.
Well, because a lot of times surveys take place, people are asked about something, and then they never really hear where that goes. I mean, nobody tends to ask me things because of what my job is, you know, in terms of random phone calls, but people, you know, will have come up to me and talked about, well, do you know anything about the survey? Because they called me and asked these questions, and that's the last I heard of them.
Exactly. And we don't want people to feel that way. So there's a lot of data. I mean, I would say that the public's response to this project has been super exciting for us. Not surprising. I think the foundation is about 25 years old. So we have thousands of Ford Scholarship alumni. Folks, we have grantees, we have graduates of our leadership program, thousands of them as well. And it's really been a collective effort. And as the data comes in and we get to start analyzing it in late this year, early next year, there will be a site on our website for the foundation where people can come and see the results, at least by county. And then we'll be pushing out those county results so that folks can start making sense of them. I think it's going to be fun to have community conversations that are grounded in that data, which is filterable by county as well as zip code. So depending on the turnout, we might even be able to do some reporting at the zip code level.
Now, Mandy, how long have you been at the foundation?
I started my current position as communications specialist in 2019, but my initial encounter with the Ford Family Foundation dates back to 2009 when I became a Ford Scholar as I was transferring from Umpqua Community College to Portland State.
So, and you went to high school?
Yeah, I graduated from RHS, and I went to Green and Sunny Slope Elementary back in the day.
And so this is like one of these things where you invest in people and then they come back and work for you later.
Right. This is Kenneth Ford's dream, I think. We were blessed and super fortunate to have Mandy decide to return to the Roseburg area. And she has just been a stellar member of our team since she joined us.
Thank you. Going over the some of the survey, I noticed that you're doing it bilingually in English and Spanish. Talk about that.
Right. So this is a statewide survey. Our world is changing. Oregon is changing. We are diversifying. I think our Latinx community, Spanish-speaking community across Oregon grows every year. And we wanted to be sure not to leave anyone out. And so we made the decision to offer the survey in English and Spanish. It's also, you don't have to take it online. You can if you want to give us a call, there's a 1-800 number. Mandy knows it better than me, so you want to give them the 1-800 number?
Yeah, you can take it online at OregonVoicesEngage.org. Mm-hmm. You can email us at OregonVoices@tfff.org to request paper copies, or call us at 1-800-367-1350. And we can mail you paper copies.
Yep, we'll mail you paper copies. And if that is somehow not doable for someone, we actually have some folks that can work with someone to take the survey via voice.
So as you go through this, there's different phases of this. Where are we at now?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Kyle. So actually this summer, we did what was called a random household version, which is now closed. And what happened there is that we worked with a national sampling house that gave us the addresses for 500 addresses in each of Oregon's 36 counties. So that's 18,000 households that were invited to participate. It was totally random, and they were mailed the survey and whatnot. We had about 2,000 people return surveys in that effort. And the reason that we did it that way was so that every county had the same amount of representation or the same likelihood of responding. And in that effort, Douglas County came in about eighth. So we had the eighth greatest number of folks reporting in that random household phase. That closed, and then we launched what you might call the outreach or snowball phase, which is let's reach the doors wide open, reach out to our friends, our grantees, our partners all across the state, and encourage them to share this survey with everyone else. So we're pretty excited to report that Douglas County right now is way up there with 331 people who've taken the survey as of this morning, and that's more than 100 more than the next highest reporting county.
And so, in the first phase, the way you did it as well, also assures that these rural counties really are heard, because when you look at all the population numbers and you see how many people are in Wheeler County or places like that, while their numbers are small, those folks, especially in a lot of southeast Oregon or northeast Oregon, just feel like they're, you know, forgotten often.
Absolutely, exactly. And that was the reason for doing we call it a bimodal strategy, or two different methodologies.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Cassie Allen, Mandy Elder from the Ford Family Foundation. The interview podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Republican candidate for governor, Carrie McQuiston. She is the mayor of Baker City. She'll be with us on tomorrow's program. And Cassie Allen and Mandy Elder from the Ford Family Foundation in here talking about the Oregon Voices Project. Now, the Ford Family Foundation, you guys have so many things going on all the time. And Mandy, you mentioned being a Ford Scholar when you were at Roseburg High School and then ending up working for the foundation later. It occurs to me that here we are in the middle, not really middle yet, but the school year right now. What about people that are starting to look ahead for themselves or their kids or grandkids, and they're starting to think about, gosh, college is kind of expensive. We could use some help here.
Yeah, absolutely. Scholarship season is happening now, and yet it is never too early to start thinking about college. If you're in high school, you have a kid or a grandchild in high school, this is a really great opportunity. The foundation loves to invest in young people from our home, and everyone should feel really encouraged to apply. There's scholarships available for returning students as well as transfer students, and all that information is on our website at tfff.org/scholarships.
So when you applied, what went into that? I mean, was that something that came from your parent, or was that your idea? How did that go forward?
Well, I have amazingly loving parents that always encouraged me, obviously, to pursue my dreams. And I had great mentors and educators in Roseburg Public Schools that invested in me. And I was very motivated to be able to pursue education as an opportunity for myself. And at UCC at the time, I had a lot of support to be able to apply. And it just answers some questions about yourself and your experience and your motivation for pursuing education.
So when you applied, what did you think your shot was at getting it? I mean, a lot of people apply for scholarships. A lot of them are kind of hard to get.
That is true. I have to say, I applied for everything that was available to me. I would say my biggest advice is to never close your own doors when it comes to scholarships, because you never know. I don't know what I thought my odds were, but I was very pleased.
So it really made a big difference in getting you going forward.
Absolutely. That not only the support for your education, but the wraparound support also to help you when you have challenges along the way that inevitably occur, and knowing that there's a backing, an organization, and a group of people that really care about your success.
And Cassie, that's one thing that Ford Family Foundation is maybe kind of known for that a lot of groups don't do. Some people will give you, write a check for you, and that's the last you hear of them. And for a lot of your programs, I've noticed that over the years that there's that support element that, okay, we're investing, we're giving you some money to do this, but we're going to help you succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a couple of the taglines associated with our scholarship programs, one is we see your potential, and the other is we're more than the money. And I think as a funder, that is something that we try to be, is to look for those kinds of supports, those extras that will make those investments bear fruit and ensure that folks are successful. I think we're also unusual. You said we do so many things. You know, we have the Ford Institute for Community Building that is doing community building all across our state and Siskiyou County, California. We have our scholarships. We also do grant making, like a more traditional foundation. And so all of those pieces come to bear. And we have a department like Learning and Knowledge Management that is investing in high-quality data for the same region that we serve. So we do. We have a lot going on, and we really try to take that multi-pronged approach.
How many people are working at the foundation these days? Any idea?
We are standing at around 42, I believe. 10 of those folks are in our Eugene office, which focuses on scholarships. And then we actually have 5 field coordinators, and those are field staff that are located across our region. They work out of their homes, but they're on the ground across rural Oregon.
And of course, some of you have been working from your homes part of this time over the last year and a half. Anyway, what's that been like when you're used to being around so many of these folks?
Oh, wow. I can just speak for myself, but I love being in our office on Northwest Stewart Parkway, and we're sort of in a hybrid mode right now where folks are welcome to come in. They're also working some from their homes, and I think we'll all be heading more and more back to the office as the new year comes upon us, but it's been fine. I'm a little sick of Zoom, to be totally honest, and really look forward to being with my colleagues again, working side by side.
You got like a whole lot of people cheering there when you said sick of Zoom, but it's one of those interesting realities that a lot of people see what you can do with it, and therefore a lot of business applications, even in education and even in the arts, there's a lot of things that people have been able to do they couldn't do before, but you know, make it a part of your life, not your entire life, 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day.
Amen to that. Yeah, I will keep using it, but hopefully not all day, every day.
Oregon Voices is the project we're focusing on now, and this looks like a long-term project, like something you're going to keep working on.
I think that's absolutely true. It is the first time for us, so we don't know. You know, we'll stay tuned, and we'll let you know what we find. But I don't believe that this will be the first time that we do it. I think it's quite likely that in a couple of years from now, we'll be doing again, you know, better, smarter, having learned from the folks who participated and received feedback and whatnot. We do anticipate that once the results land and we have those county reports, that we'll be finding a way to do sort of focus groups, town halls with folks across the region so that, you know, they can comment on the data and help us further make sense of it.
And do you have people in mind group-wise that you want to share the data with? I mean, would this go out to business leaders or members of the legislature or people like that?
I would say all of the above. I mean, we believe that, you know, everyone is a community builder. Everyone can be a leader in our state. We will definitely be targeting policymakers, leaders at the state level, you know, children, families, youth-serving organizations, and we'll be encouraging connections across communities as well.
So right now, people can still get involved. Is there a kind of a cutoff point?
There is. We are anticipating closing the survey shortly before Thanksgiving. There's a chance that we will extend it. But right now, we would really love everyone who's listening, if you haven't had a chance to take it, please do. And please encourage your neighbors, friends, folks that the foundation doesn't get a chance to hear from very often, and that you think our leaders across our state don't get a chance to listen to very often. Encourage folks to take it. And if they need help taking it, please reach out to us and let us provide that support, either with paper surveys or with a voice survey over the phone.
So, Mandy, if somebody's going, you know, I got a lot of stuff to do, there's a pandemic here, how much time does this take to take a survey? Because sometimes surveys, you can sit down and be working on them for an hour or two.
This is not one of those surveys. It's designed to be very friendly and accessible. Most people can complete it in under 15 minutes, around 10 minutes usually. And I think it's a really important investment of 10 minutes of your time. We really sincerely want to hear from a broad group of people, and we want to be able to report accurate data about people's experiences, both back to the community and to decision makers and policy makers as well. And we know that we all have a place and a voice to contribute to them.
And if somebody wants to take the survey, give them real quick in 30 seconds or less, how do they do that?
Yeah, the easiest way you can take the survey is online, OregonVoicesEngage.org. If online doesn't work, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-367-1350. We can either mail you a paper copy, or you can take the survey over the phone. And you can email us at OregonVoices@tfff.org.
All right, Cassie Allen, Mandy Elder on Inside Douglas County. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
Thank you, Ken.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.